CEO of Cotton Incorporated. Cotton Incorporated is our innovative research and promotion side of the cotton business. To give us a report on some of those activities, would you please welcome Barry Warsham.
Thank you very much, Chairman Hardwick, and also thank you to the National Cotton Council for again providing me the opportunity to participate in the 2010 Beltwide Cotton Conference. And in my time this morning, I will try to summarize the major activities of Cotton Incorporated in 2009. And keep in mind, this is not a comprehensive review of all the activities, but just some of the highlights of the research and promotion activities that we felt were important for 2009. As we get started, I will say that the environment of 2009 was unlike anything I've seen in the more than 25 years in the cotton industry. We started 2009 with a continuation of the financial meltdown that started in October 2008. Unfortunately, this was closely followed with an economic decline that affected not only the United States, but nearly every country in the world. As we're all familiar with, commodity prices collapsed and global textile demand growth experienced its worst decline in more than 50 years. We saw acres continuing to drop for cotton, and even the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was affected significantly by these events as we experienced our worst employment reduction in more than 30 years. Yet, within this environment, I believe that the program made significant strides in improving and reaching its mission of improving the demand for and the profitability of cotton through our research and promotion activities. When we started 2009, we had five major primary objectives. Number one is to continue to reach the consumer and trade with an effective message about cotton. We wanted to improve the profitability of U.S. cotton through our research programs and through some of our demand building type activities. Number three, we wanted to create or be a catalyst for new products and processes that would be beneficial to cotton. Number four, improve the opportunities for cotton through our industry training and education programs. And five, maintain a strong global presence for cotton. All of the programs that we have at Cotton Incorporated are designed to meet one or more of these objectives. A big part of the profitability initiative involves the work of our agriculture research team. Every year we're engaged in about 300 to 400 research projects across the Cotton Belt, from variety improvement, insect weed resistance, to cottonseed marketing, just to name a few. And as you know, this is largely done in partnerships with the many universities, U.S. Department of Agriculture, National Cotton Council, and other organizations. And since much of this work will be represented in the presentations and workshops later in this conference, I'll use my limited time to cover other areas of the company in my remarks today. In fact, our agricultural research team has a booth at this event, and I hope you stop by and learn more about what we're doing in the ag research initiatives. No matter how well we grow the fiber or process it into a textile product, it's all for nothing without consumer demand, whether that demand exists here in the United States or outside the United States in other markets. With the collapse of consumer confidence and consumer spending in 2009, we felt it would be important to differentiate cotton by bringing back an old, comforting, old, familiar theme, the fabric of our lives, except with a slightly new twist, the fabric of my life. In addition, for the first time in many years, Cotton Incorporated engaged celebrities to sing the theme song using their own interpretation. We used Zooey Deschanel for pop rendition, country singer Miranda Lambert, and Jasmine Sullivan, who did an R&B rendition of the fabric of my life. These three commercials were geared to young women aged 18 to 34 who were reached an average of 15 times in 2009, making that 1.2 billion impressions through television. All total for all women, it was about 2 billion in terms of impressions. What was unique about this campaign in 2009 was the extensive use of the internet in addition to television in order to convey our message. In addition to television, Cotton Incorporated received 1.5 million clicks to our websites directly related to the program or the campaign, which helped boost recall and overall awareness of the advertising campaign. We use commercials on the internet websites where consumers can view actual television programs. This is an example of a fashion television program called Project Runway where our commercial has to be viewed before the viewer can play the program. So this, in effect, is like TiVo proof and may be the future of advertising in the coming years. We also tied our advertising campaign to actual point of sale. In 2009, we launched the Fabric of Our Lives National Mall campaign, where we showcased the personalized fashions of the commercials that were featured in the commercials, as well as allowed participants to record their own version of the Fabric of My Life in an actual functional studio. This was held in 15 malls across the country with another 15 malls with other promotional events as well. We tried to leverage our television and internet with also radio spots. We did some radio test marketing in Nashville, Chicago, and Houston. Unfortunately, our conclusion here was the cost per unit of reach turned out to be a little too high, and we will not continue this effort in 2010. Our public relations department tried to leverage our relationships with these celebrities and magazines. In 2009, we had an event in Nashville with Miranda Lambert that was actually covered in People magazine. We did the same thing in December with Zooey Deschanel and Vanity Fair magazine. So we actually got some additional hits or some impressions based on those relationships. Our consumer website, our main consumer website, I should say, thefabricofourlives.com, actually received 3.6 million visitors, unique visitors, in 2009. That's up from 238,000 in 2002. And more than half of those visits were directly related to the new campaign. In 2009, we looked for further consumer bonding opportunities using internet online type services like Facebook and YouTube. And these are important because even though there's not a tremendous amount of impressions being made there, there's virtually no marginal cost. So this is the use of viral networking to get that message out about cotton. As mentioned earlier, 2009 was not a great year for the consumer. We felt that we also needed to show the consumer why cotton was a better choice from an economical point of view. We started a program called Cutting Costs with Cotton, which was geared to both consumer and industry, and consisted of 45 news items that had a reach of about 45 million consumers. We featured articles on denim, how to dress with cotton, featuring our new technologies, and other giving consumer other ideas about how to use cotton and save money at the same time. The Lifestyle Monitor is a program that's been ongoing now for more than a decade. We have been surveying consumers' attitudes about various issues affecting the demand for cotton and just basic social issues for quite a number of years. And we built quite a time series database now that dates back, I believe, to the mid-1990s. This information is now the centerpiece of many articles that make its way into industry and consumer publications. Green, or the environment, has been a major focus of the company now for the past several years, and we've used the Lifestyle Monitor as a tool for getting the right information out about cotton and the environment. These articles appear in major publications such as Women's Wear Daily, which is probably the most widely read publication in the women's wear industry. The consumer reach efforts expand beyond the U.S. market. For the last 3 years, we've worked with Cotton Council International on a China promotion program, Cotton Beyond Your Imagination. In 2009, we updated the website, changed the logo, giving it a more contemporary look, more effective look. To celebrate cotton in China, we held experiential consumer events that featured the importance of cotton to the world's consumers. This is a picture coming up of an exhibition that we held in Beijing. I don't know if you can see that well, but it's a picture of a giant globe that's covered in cotton fabrics. And again, the idea is to convey the fact that cotton is not an outdated fiber, but is contemporary, environmentally more friendly than the competition, and cotton is essential to the global economy. 2009, we completely revamped our own cotton sustainability website. If you go there, cottontoday.com, you can really learn the facts about cotton in the environment. One of our major strategies in 2009 was to look at cotton as it relates to the food and fiber needs of future years, 2050. We estimate, or it's estimated by experts, that the world's food demand will double by 2050, and the world's fiber demand could increase by a factor of 3 to 4. So cotton being a natural renewable resource that could serve as both a food crop as well as a fiber crop, and we know it's a feed crop, is well positioned to be consistent with the needs of the global economy in 2050. One of the things we focused on is in this area is the potential for cotton, not just what we're doing today, but what can be done in the future. Skip to that. We focused on the potential of low gossypol cotton, which is now a real possibility based on successful field trials that occurred in Texas A&M. Actually, Time magazine wrote an article or featured an article called Edible Cotton. The possibility exists for cotton to feed 500 million people based on its nutritional content. We're trying to get people to think of cotton in ways that they haven't before. Actually, this was picked up by Associated Press. It ran, I think, over 100 stories in major publications like the LA Times. Our Strategic Alliances Group continued a successful recycling program called Cotton from Blue to Green. This is a denim drive that collects denim and has it recycled into home insulation. Then that home insulation is donated to Habitat for Humanity for home building. This effort gathered momentum in 2009. National Geographic for Kids set a Guinness World Record for denim collections in Washington, D.C. at 33,000 pieces. All total, the partnership that we had with retailers, brands, and schools, we collected 180,000 denim units in 2009, which is enough to insulate 360 homes. So it's another way of giving people a little different perspective about the potential for cotton. Our sustainability initiative included textile-related research. The process of converting a fiber all the way into a garment. In that process, dyeing and finishing is by far the most energy, water, and chemical-intensive process, ranging from 65% of the total use to 85% of the environmental footprint. Commissioner Strain referenced the fact that water is going to be a critical issue in agriculture in general and for the societies globally in general. And this is our sort of Achilles heel, that we have to reduce the footprint in water use in the textile processing area as we go forward. We've been working on processes like foam dyeing and foam finishing, which uses far less water than traditional methods of processing. We're also looking at technologies like reducing salts, using less caustic materials in processing of cotton. All these things are going to be very important in the coming year. Another key sustainability project involved a study on biodegradability of fibers with Cornell. In the study, it's shown that cotton, whether it's treated or untreated, degrades significantly faster than polyester. This will be incorporated in our sustainability materials as we can get this information out to industry. A major event that occurred in 2009 was our sustainability conference that was held in Hong Kong, which was hosted jointly by Cotton Incorporated and CCI. This involved textile processing, not farm sustainability. At this event, nearly 300 industry participants worldwide discussed new processes and technologies in textile processing that could reduce cotton's future environmental footprint. And from this event, we published a pamphlet called A World of Ideas, which is a compilation of nearly 30 technologies that exist today that could significantly lower our energy, water, and chemical requirements in textile processing. We see our role here as one of a catalyst to try to help disseminate information and speed up adoption rates of new developments. For several years, I've talked about improving cotton's competitiveness in performance apparel, an area where synthetics have increased their market share in recent years. TransDry is a technology that's very important for us in this area. In 2009, we really had to continue to develop the supply chain with potential suppliers before meaningful results can be seen at retail. We've done this in the Americas, Turkey, and Asia, and now we're on the cusp of major brand adoptions planned for 2010 and 2011. Denim is another area critical to cotton. Our Storm Denim technology has seen now adoptions by Harley-Davidson, Dickies, Eddie Bauer, and Dazzle, and more is on the way for announcements in 2010 and 11. An important objective of our program is the education and training of the industry on cotton from field to fabric. It's really astounding sometimes how little some of the people in the industry know about cotton. And this is to the credit of the importers who are also funding this program, who have actually pushed this particular area of the training and workshops. In 2009, we've held 36 workshops on subjects like fabric finishing, color standards, sustainability, and of these workshops, 10 were held internationally. And this gives us the potential of educating more than 1,000 people in the industry on the potential for cotton. We continue to maintain a strong global presence for cotton through our one-on-one meetings with industry, as well as our participation in major events. In 2009, we participated in 76 trade shows, conferences, events, and tours that were attended by more than 400,000 participants. This led to significant follow-up opportunities. And many of these things are done in conjunction with Cotton Council International, such as Intertextile Shanghai. One-on-one meetings continue to be an important part of communication, particularly in the area of sustainability. We met with trend-setting companies like Levi's, Adidas, Walmart, and IKEA, just to name a few. And this is a real challenge for cotton, is to getting the industry to think beyond organics as a sustainable solution. Cotton being environmentally sustainable does not mean being organic. Improving cotton's profitability is an important objective in our fiber competition division. In this area of fiber quality research, work continued in improving breeder sample protocols and testing, improving reference methods, and improving fiber length and maturity measurements. In 2009, our product evaluation lab completed 37,000 tests in fiber, about 200 yarn tests, 1,600 fabric tests, as well as testing on 4,000 product launderings, which are very important in our analysis of finished goods. We've remained well connected to the standards setting organizations such as AATCC, as well as newly formed eco groups that can shape future environmental standards for fibers and products. Our cotton management system, EFS, is an important way of differentiating U.S. cotton. 2009, we signed additional licensees in China, and our marketing programs throughout the world, including our marketing programs, including Vietnam, which is an emerging market for cotton spinning. In summary, our activities continue to push cotton forward in a very difficult environment as we cycle back to the objectives. Fortunately, the year ended much better than it began. Commodity prices improved for cotton. The financial markets overall rebounded significantly. The economy experienced economic growth beginning in the third quarter of this year. And prospects are finally brighter that we could see higher cotton plantings in the coming year and perhaps higher cotton prices as well. So in conclusion, I want to thank the National Cotton Council, but thank all of you as well for your continued support of the research and promotion program. Mr. Chairman, that completes my report.
Thank you, Barry, for that report. As you can see, he just touched the top of the iceberg there with some of the innovative work that the Cotton Incorporated does, and thank you for that as well.